Father in heaven, it's all about you. It has always been about you. It will always be about you. Whether we're here on earth or in heaven, oh God, it doesn't matter where we are. It's always about you, Jesus. Father, we come before you asking, oh God, that you forgive us for all our sins. We're sinful beings, oh God. Sometimes we sin unintentionally. Sometimes it is intentional. Whatever it is, oh God, we ask you to please purify us and help us, oh God, to stay on the path that is straight. King of Kings, we ask for your spirit today to teach us, to enlighten us, to encourage us, to strengthen our faith and our walk in you, Lord. We thank you. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Joshua chapter 2. And what stood out for me in chapter 1 was the Lord's charge to Joshua. After Moses was dead, right? Who appeared to Joshua? It was the Lord himself. Yeah? Now, don't you sometimes wonder, how did the Lord appear? Did he appear in person? Did he appear as an angel? What happened exactly? You know? Isn't it amazing how the Bible just mentions and says the Lord appeared to Joshua, but it doesn't care to elaborate on how the Lord appeared to him? Yeah? I wonder. It's just a thought. I also don't know how the Lord appeared to him. Maybe he appeared to him in a dream. But if he had appeared to him in a dream, the Bible would have said he appeared to him in a dream, right? If he appeared to him as an angel, the Bible would have said he appeared to him as an angel, right? So how the Lord appeared to him, I don't know. That's homework for you. Yeah. So what really stood out for me in chapter 1, verse 6, was essentially the Lord was telling Joshua that, you know what, just as I was there and I defended Moses and, you know, I blessed him and I empowered him, I'm going to be there for you as well, right? And then he says, be strong. This is verse 6, chapter 1. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Goes on saying, verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Only be strong and very courageous. I imagine maybe we use that word only because we're saying, just focus on this. You don't have to do too much. Only be strong and courageous. Is he now talking about physical strength or is he talking about spiritual strength? I believe he's talking about both, because Joshua is a soldier, a warrior. Remember? Yes? Are you there? I need some feedback. I'm not a lecturer. Yes? Yes. He needed to be strong, I believe, both physically and spiritually. And very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Yes? Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. I love that, you know? Do you want to prosper wherever you go? I believe that message wasn't primarily for Joshua. I believe that message is to us all, even today. Do we want to prosper? Yeah? What should we do? We need to only be strong and courageous, that we may observe to do according to all the laws which Moses, his servant, commanded. Yeah? Not to turn from me to the right or to the left, so that we can prosper. Hallelujah. Now, however we prosper is not dependent on us. Did you know that? Yes? We want to prosper, but that doesn't depend on us. We're not the ones who decide how we want to prosper. Yes? Because our destiny is not in our hands. It's in God's hands. It's about his plans, not our plans. Hallelujah. Yes. It's about his plans, not our plans. So we see a furtherance of his plans in chapter 2. a very interesting story about the most unlikely, most probably most unsung hero, a harlot named Rahab. Yeah? So let's read Joshua chapter 2. Now, Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go, view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. Interesting. Yeah? The house of a harlot. How many of you, having been sent by God on a special mission, would like to reside in the house of a harlot? How many? I tell you, the things of God, huh? They are definitely meant to confine the what? The wise, huh? They seem foolish. You're thinking, of all places, yeah? They ended up at a harlot's house. Yeah? Now, it's very easy to glamorize Rahab because she's in the Bible. Yes, because she's in the Hall of Fame as far as faith is concerned. But she was a proper harlot. Prostitutes. Eh? Yes, sweetie. Bambi. Huh? Have you met some of them down there? Yes, they even give you names, by the way. Sonny, Bambi, Jangu Bambi. Yes, baby, Bambi. Huh? And you're just there. Raka yaka 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 yaka. Start speaking in tongues. The devil is a liar, the devil is a liar. I'm going straight home. Huh? You haven't met them down there. She was that kind of woman. Can you imagine? Huh? The woman who would force you to embrace the gift of tongues. Yes? Rahab. Amazing. Yes? Now, Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from the Acacia Grove. That was the same Acacia Grove mentioned in Numbers chapter 25 verse 1, where Israel committed harlotries with the women of Moab, for your information. Yeah? So they went to spy secretly. Yes? And so basically, Joshua was telling them, go view the land, especially Jericho. Yeah? Do you think Jericho still exists today? What do you think? Yes? No? When it was the walls were destroyed, we also think, I don't know, somehow it disappeared into oblivion. What do you think? Do you think it's still there today? Jericho is in the city, is a city in Palestine. Do you know that? Today? It's there. Yeah? It's one of the Palestinian territories and is located near the Jordan River in the West Bank. You've heard of the West Bank, I'm sure, where all the conflict has been happening between Israel and Palestine. Yeah, it's funny that that whole area was called Palestine. Israel, what? That whole area was Palestine. That was the promised land from Saudi Arabia all the way to Palestine was the promised land for the children. Wherever they stepped, yes, that was their land. But because of disobedience, blah, 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 yeah, they lost most of it. So, yes, Jericho is near the Jordan River by the West Bank. It's currently controlled by a group called Fatah. Have you heard of Fatah? Yes? There is Hamas and there is Fatah, a faction of the Palestinian Authority. Yeah? In Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 3, it's called a city grove of palm trees. I don't know if those palm trees are still there today. Yes, so Jericho is still there. If you get an opportunity to travel to Palestine, make sure you go to Jericho and see that place. Yes. So the Bible goes on to say, so they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. Ay, 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 ay. Who was Rahab? What did her name, what does the name Rahab mean? Some say it means storm, as was in a big storm. Some say it means arrogance. Some say it means pride. Yeah? And Egypt, the land of Egypt, was equated to Rahab. Did you know that? I'll read you the scripture. Yeah, where Egypt is referred to as Rahab, because Egypt was proud. Egypt did not listen to the Lord. Yeah, so it means storm, arrogance, or pride. And it was also named after a mythical creature that was very hard to kill. Yeah? Here it is. Psalm 89:10 says, "Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm." So he was basically talking about Rahab, referring to Egypt. Yeah? She's described as a harlot. Yeah? Interesting. Harlot, prostitute. Which one sounds better, harlot or prostitute? Harlots. Huh? All right. Yes. And they also say that she was probably an innkeeper, yeah, in Jericho, according to some historians. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. Yeah. And now, it's interesting that when we were studying Matthew, Saint Matthew wanted to give a genealogy of Christ, where he came from. Yes? And he was basically trying to paint a picture to the Jews. Yes? And it's interesting that the Jews over-glamorized the Messiah and his coming. But he decided to give them an interesting genealogy. Yes? Of where the Messiah was coming from. So if you read Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, I start from verse 5. It says, "Salmon begot Boaz." There's a lot of begetting, but I skipped a lot of that begetting. It says, "Salmon begot Boaz by who? Rahab, the harlot." There is no other Rahab. This was the harlot, the prostitute. "Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah." So in there is a harlot, a prostitute in the lineage of Christ. But there's also adultery and murder. Adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband Uriah. Interesting, right? I believe, and this should actually be proof, many people who keep claiming the Bible was written by man, it wasn't written by God, these things are not true. If man had written these genealogies, he definitely wouldn't have put Rahab in there, would he? I don't think so. He wouldn't have put that story with Bathsheba, you know. But the Bible just goes to show you the standards of God as compared to the standards of man. The two just do not connect. God is just way above us. We can't understand his plots, his plans. Yeah? Incredible. Yeah? Then it goes on to say in chapter 1, verse 15, "Eliud begot Eliezer, Eliezer begot Mathan, Mathan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." Hallelujah. Yes, but it started from way up there, this same Rahab. Yeah? So we go back to our story in Jericho, verse 2. "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country.'" It's interesting. How did they know? Yeah? I guess they had a lot of intelligence. I guess they had heard the stories. Yes? They heard about what the Lord had done for the children of Israel in the desert, in the wilderness. Yes? They had all those stories. They knew. They knew. God ensured that they would know. They would hear what he had done for his children in Israel. And so now they are all quaking. Yeah, I'm sure they also had spies. They were spying out. Yeah? So the children of Israel came to search the country. In other words, they came to spy out the country. Verse 3. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house. Imagine the specifics. Yes? It means it was a very serious spy network. They knew exactly where to find these guys. Amazing. Yes? Who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax. Pause there for a minute. What is flax? Do we ever just go through the Bible and we find a new word, or and we just quickly peruse over it, like whatever, yeah? But everything in there, every word I believe in there has a purpose, yes? What is flax? I was wondering, flax? I've seen flax all the time. What is flax? What is flax? What do you think flax is? Anyone? No one? All right. Flax is a seed, essentially, that is grown for food, yes? And not only is it grown for food, but it also contains oil. And they squeeze a type of oil from it called linseed oil. If you're a fine artist, you may have once or twice used linseed oil. Yes? So you mix it up with the oil paints, and then when you paint with linseed oil and the oil paints, the picture becomes very shiny and brilliant. And then the linseed oil also protects the painting, shields it from dirt, and protects it for a long time. That's what you get from flax. Another surprising thing that we get from flax is linen. Did you know that? Yes. That fabric called linen. Some of us thought it was. For me, for a while, I was thinking linen is basically from cotton, what. But linen comes from flax. Hallelujah. Yes, now we have learned something interesting today. Where does linen come from? Not from cotton. From flax. Yes. So, she hid them under the stalks of flax. Yeah? Which she had laid on the roof, possibly to dry. Now, at this point you're thinking, okay, wow. This is a very interesting scenario. The king of Jericho comes, probably with his whole entourage, I don't know, maybe a battalion, whatever it is, and he's knocking on her door and assuring her, yeah? Imagine if Museveni came to your door, yes, and says, I hear you have two spies in here. Let them out. What would you do? You'd kneel down and say, please forgive me. I will never do it again. They are in there. Get them. Yes? Because you're seeing these AK-47s and all these big guns by your door, right? The first thing you're thinking is that I am going to jail. I am going to disappear. My relatives will never hear from me again. I'll probably be shot. Yes? This is treason, right? Treason. But I imagine she's calm at this point. I don't know how, but I imagine she's calm. And she blatantly tells him a lie. It doesn't matter how you look at it. The truth is she lied. Not so. Some people may become very theological and say, now we need to analyze this. What was the exegesis of this lie? What we need... Well, let's not call it a lie right now. Huh? For a few seconds, let us... For the sake of this sermon, let's not call it that. It was a lie. Hallelujah. She lied to the king. Oh my goodness. Yeah? And you find that very many people have an issue with this story right from this point. when she tells the king lies, and some people shut down, they're like, ah, this Bible of yours, Yeah? Or even some Christians will be like, okay, this is weird. And I'm sure many of us have felt this is a bit weird, yes? There's a story in the Bible where the Lord actually sent a lying spirit, yes? Out to these prophets. You remember that story? Yes? Lying spirit. He didn't send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't lie. He sent a lying spirit. But the things of God, you have to go in there and say, God, I am here. Please open my heart, open my eyes. I want to read your word. Give me understanding and wisdom from above. Otherwise, you can get stumbled. Yes? Or you can get confused or, you know. So she lied to the king blatantly. Now, some people claim, they say, you know what? This was her infirmity. She was naturally a liar. So she didn't have an issue lying to the king because it was her natural affinity. Yes? When you think about a harlot, a prostitute, they're not the most upstanding citizens, right? Because of the nature of their business, they're going to tell a lot of lies. They are going to cheat. They'll even steal. Yes? There is nothing that they'll even murder. So many great men have been murdered by using prostitutes to kill them. Yeah? They will tell lies. They will do, and they will lie properly. Properly. So that may have some truth. Maybe she was just good at lying. The first thing that came into her mind was just to tell the king lies. Yes? They're not here. And then we also have to remember that Rahab is not a Mlokole, right? She is not saved. So we may try to dump on her our standards. No, she's a heathen. It just so happens that the Lord chose her that day. Hallelujah. The grace of the Lord. She didn't choose God. God sent these spies to her house. He chose her. Oh, how wonderful that is. He chose a prostitute, a liar, yes, to do his work. Yeah? But in spite of her trade, her reputation, her occupation, yes, she is, in Hebrews chapter 11, she is given as one of the examples of a person who was justified by her faith. It was accounted to her as righteousness, just like Gideon, just like Moses, Abraham, all these guys who are mentioned. Was Moses in there? Yeah? Yeah. Okay. So, isn't that amazing? Yes? That she's also thrown in that hall of fame as far as faith was concerned. I found that really remarkable. And that encourages me because I'm thinking, you know what? I may not be a harlot. Yeah? But if I have got my infirmities, yes, that are different, there is no difference between me and her. Right? But that the Lord would still choose to use me today is really amazing, remarkable. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, let's clap for the Lord. Yeah? It's very easy to see a pastor standing up there and you think, this man here, we are the same. We are sinners, we are sinful, we are proud, we can be arrogant. We all think about it. It's just grace. Yes? There's no difference between you and a harlot. Hallelujah. Yes, we are all sinners, but the Lord loves us and His grace abounds in our lives. Yeah? Her story was an example of faith. Yes? What does the Bible say? I lost my scripture. Somewhere, I don't know what happened. But the Bible says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? That's somewhere, where was that? I'm trying to remember. James, right? Yes, yes. Faith without works is dead. Rahab, somehow, in her lies, and in her deception, whatever it is, somehow managed to embrace faith somehow, I don't know where she got it from. I guess the Lord, I mean, it's God who gives faith. Maybe he gave it to her at that point, and she just said, you know what? I either hang on to this faith, I either hang on to what these guys have come to do here, or I'm going to jail for telling the king lies and harboring fugitives. Yeah? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on an altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. She is given as an example by Pastor James. Yes, as an example of works working hand in hand with faith. Yes? Faith. Many times we are praying for more faith. Praying for more faith. Faith, faith. But we have been given faith already. Hallelujah. We just have to exercise it. Many times we most probably don't need more. God has given us enough. The only problem with us is that we are not exercising it to its full capacity. So we are crying out for more faith. But we actually don't know that we are crying out for actually more courage. To be faithful, to stand for our faith. Yeah? But with whatever little faith had been given Rahab for this particular operation here, she used it to the maximum. Isn't that very encouraging? Yes? She used it to the maximum. And then she was put in that hall of fame. One who was accounted for as righteousness. Because of her faith. Yeah? I love that. Yeah? But there also comes works. Now, works can be a very tricky and sloppy, slippery slide. Yes? If you don't have a good balance between works and faith, then there's a big problem. Yeah? But we have to find the right balance. Our faith and our works. We combine them together, and how awesome and marvelous, yes, our lives will be as we continue to live for the Lord. Verse 7. Then the men pursued them by the road to Jordan, to the fords. What were the fords? Who knows what fords are? Again, we just skim over the, we just skim through the Bible. What are the fords? Had they parked, Linda, not Linda, Eva is busy showing me, yeah, fords, were there parked some cars by the Jordan? What are fords? Yes? Fords were essentially places where a river was shallow enough for people to cross through it by on foot without a boat. Yeah? Hallelujah? Yay. So that's where the fords were. So this Jordan had so many fords. Yes. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Their security was in their wall. Their security was in their gate. Yes, they were very, very critical. They were very cautious when it came to their city. I believe those gates were shut all the time. Yeah? Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. Meanwhile, the other guys are just pursuing the wind. They are running around chasing these people, probably in the dark. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. How did she know that the Lord had given them the land? How? Huh? Amazing. She knew. Do you know how she knew? It goes on to say that the terror of you has fallen on us. Hallelujah. When the Lord gives you the land, all those squatters will be engulfed with terror. That doesn't mean you go and mishandle those squatters. You treat them nicely and say, "Mugende, mugende, yes, get off my property." Yes, that's how she knew that the Lord had given them the land of Jericho, because the terror of them had fallen upon the land of Jericho. That's why the king himself personally got out of his palace and he went marching with his squad and knocked on her door and said, "You're hiding fugitives," because the whole city was now in confusion. Yes? And then she goes on to say, "And that all inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted." They are faint-hearted. They are lacking in courage. They are no longer courageous. They are timid. Hallelujah. The Lord's enemies were timid. They were lacking in courage. Think about all the Lord's enemies today. They may seem strong. They may seem courageous. They may seem like they have these big walls that surround them. These walls cannot be climbed. They are insurmountable. Nobody can tear them down. They are protected by power. They are protected by politics. They are protected by money. But it doesn't matter. One day, the terror of the Lord will fall upon them and they will become faint-hearted. Hallelujah. They will become timid. It's only a matter of time. Our job is not to keep saying, "Banange, when are these guys falling? When are these guys falling? When are these guys falling?" Yes? Our job is to pray that justice and truth shall prevail in our land. Amen? That the righteousness of God will prevail in our land. The Lord will take care of his enemies in due time. Yeah? Yes. "And that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you." An example of this kind of scenario where the Lord sends terror and dread and fear and horror to the enemies of his people is seen in Genesis chapter 35, verse 5. When you get time, please go and read that. Exodus 15, verse 15. 23, verse 27. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 25 says, "This is the day I will begin to put the dread of and fear of you upon the nations under the whole earth." Yes? "This is the day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the nations under the whole heaven. Who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you?" Wow. Amazing. Now, as I was studying through, one of the commentators asked a very interesting question. He said, "So, the spies were Jews. They spoke, what did they speak? What did the Jews speak? French. Hebrew, right? Yes. But the Canaanites were not Jews. So they didn't speak Hebrew, right? So how are they communicating with Rahab? People, do we ever think about these things? Yeah? Or it's like a soap opera where we just swallow and we're like, she just came and now she has disorganized the whole, where did she come from? Who gave her transport? You have to ask all these questions. Yeah? Things like that. How did they communicate? How did the spies communicate with Rahab? There were two different nations, different tribes, different languages. Interesting. Now, some historians say the Hebrew and Canaan or Phoenician languages have a very great resemblance. Yes? And are thought to be but differing dialects of one and the same tongue. As the land proved by a multitude of words which are common to both of them. The land people have proved by a few words that are common to them. And then others say, some of the Hebrews had either out of curiosity or by Joshua's order and direction learnt that language for this or other such like occasions. So it's up to you to decide. How did she How did they communicate, you know? Maybe Joshua was planning before and he said, now you can infiltrate them, learn their language. Yeah, which one do you think is more feasible? The dialects are more related or Joshua? Maybe both. I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes if you're a spy, you have to go in there and speak the language fluently. Doesn't that make sense? Otherwise, immediately they'll tell that you have an accent. Yes? So the two probably make sense. When the Americans send spies to Russia, yeah, you can't tell that these are American spies. They send people there who look like Russians and who speak the language fluently, and vice versa. So many spies in America from Russia. You can't tell. Yes? And America is at a disadvantage because there are so many nations in there. There's just a Katogo. Yeah? So you can't even tell. And they have been born there. They have married there. Their children are attending schools there. Their parents were spies. They are spies. It's an amazing thing. Yeah? Now, how much time Joshua had to prepare for all this, I don't know. But I'm sure for the sake of pronouncing the words properly, for the sake of having the right accent, because the Hebrew accent was very strong. Even when they spoke other languages, when they spoke Greek, you could tell that, You know what they said about even among the Jews themselves, they'll tell, you guys are from Galilee or whatever, or Nazareth or whatever, because of their accents. Yes. So verse 10, anyway. So we have heard the Lord dried up the water, Rahab continues, of the Red Sea. They heard the whole land had, rumors had spread like a wildfire of what the Lord had done. So, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. If you want to read that, it is in Numbers chapter 21, verse 21 to 35. How the Amorites and the people from Sihon and Og were utterly destroyed. Verse 11. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Hallelujah. Wow. Yes, let's clap for him. That is just fantastic. Yes. Heathens are proclaiming, they're acknowledging the God of the Jews, and they're saying, for you, the Lord God, your God is the God of heaven above and on earth beneath. Now, if the Lord hadn't sent his terror, I believe these guys would have had so much confidence in their might and power and their wall. Yeah? And even at one point when these guys start marching around the wall, they were standing there, I'm sure they're even laughing. Like, okay, these guys we were fearing now, but look at them. They are now involving some weird witchcraft. This won't work. Yeah? But the Lord intentionally sent his terror, or the terror of his nation, to these guys there, and they were just all quaking. And even Rahab was at this point quaking. But unlike the rest, what does she do? She decides to help them. She decides by faith to help these guys, to aid them. She's not thinking that, oh, all my neighbors and all my friends are going to be killed. At this point, she's thinking, now it's a matter of self-preservation. Hallelujah. And sometimes we are pushed into those corners where it's now self-preservation. People are refusing to accept God. People are walking down a dangerous path. You look at all your relatives and all they care about is drinking, womanizing, money. You speak to them about Jesus Christ. You try to show them in your demeanor, and there's just nothing happening. Not that you don't care about them, not that you stop caring about them, but at that point then you begin to focus also on your salvation and say, let God take care of them. The same way He took care of me, the same way He'll take care of them. And sometimes you might just be throwing pearls to swine. You preach the word of God to them, but they don't see its worth. The word of God is so beautiful, so pure, so precious. It's like a treasure hidden somewhere. Man discovers it. What does he do? Sells all his property. He comes and he buys the piece of land because that treasure is hidden in there. But every time we throw out, sometimes we throw out this word, this gospel to our relatives, to our friends, and to them it's like a pig looking at pearls. And that is the truth. That's what the Bible says. Right? And sometimes you just have to know when to say, okay, you know what? I'm not preaching anymore. I'll just keep praying for you. I believe Rahab, at this point, she got into this mode of self-preservation. She probably looked at her own lifestyle and saw how wicked she had been. And then looked at her neighbors and the whole city. It was just wicked. A very, very, very bad city. And she's thinking, there's no way we can survive. The best thing I can do is save myself and save my family, my immediate relatives. Yeah? And so she chooses to live, to follow God. But many times we find ourselves caught up by peer pressure, by family pressure. Can you miss some Sundays? And yeah, this Bulokole stuff is just nonsense. All those guys are thieves. Yeah? And if you choose to listen to that pressure, your parents are telling you don't go to church and all that, yeah? And you miss out on what God has in store for you simply because of peer pressure, family pressure. But she chose not to do that. And she says something very profound. She says, let me read verse 11 again. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. All of them were afraid. For the Lord your God, yes, he is God in heaven, above and on earth beneath. What is she saying? As compared to our gods, as compared to other gods who are locked up in the heavens, yes, they are there, they are aloof, they are doing their own thing. Once in a while, they'll come and bless us or whatever. But you know, they're there in their own kingdom. Yes? As compared to those gods, your God can do anything he pleases in heaven and on earth because he's the God of both. Hallelujah. That's what she's essentially saying here. Your God can do anything because he's the God of both. He's not just the God of the heavens. Yeah? What does Hebrews 11:31 say? By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. When she had received the spies, when she had received the spies with peace, she was included in the hall of fame because of her actions and belief in the Hebrew God. Hallelujah. Yes. Look at her. Look at what she's proclaiming at this moment. She's a harlot, probably the worst of the worst. Yes. But look at the truth she's speaking right here. All faith. Yeah? Verse 12. Now therefore, I beg you, she's still talking to the spies, swear to me by the Lord, for there is no greater God than him. There is no greater God than your God. So she's basically saying, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, give me a true symbol, a true gesture, yes, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, our lives for your lives. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Not only is she pleading for her life, but because of her actions of faith, salvation has come to her entire family. Can you imagine? Yes? Her whole family is going to be spared because of her faith. Amen? And sometimes that's what it takes. You hang in there. You pray for your relatives. You continue to preach to them here and there. If you can't preach anymore in words, you preach in actions. Who knows? Salvation may come to them through you. Amen? Yes. Our lives for your life, for yours. We will give our lives for you if you do not betray us. They make a vow to Rahab based on the assurance they have from their God. Not from their own strength, not from their own might, but because they know their God. Yes, they know their God is faithful. They know their God is powerful. They give her that assurance based on who they serve. Amen? Not based on their own strength. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. How convenient. The Lord is just full of surprises. And she said to them, "Get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way." So the men say to her, "We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear. Unless, when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home." Scarlet cord, just like a red cloth, yes, hanging by the window. "So it shall be," verse 19, "that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head. And we will be guiltless." It reminds me of that time when, during the first Passover, yes? The doorposts were painted with blood. But if you got out, what would happen? The angel of death would get you and finish you. It's very interesting. Yeah? "And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear." Remember, she's showing some signs of, okay, we can work with her. Yeah, she has proved herself and all that. She let us down through the window. But she's still a harlot. Yes, there's still those characteristics. She may back out, maybe in fear or what, or maybe someone will give her money. So they assure her, "And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear." Yeah? So they were still, yeah? They're reminding her, basically, don't go back on your word. Don't deal deceitfully with us. But keep our secret, and then we shall also keep our oath to you. She had to prove herself worthy of their trust. It's not enough for you to just say, I'm saved, I'm now a Christian and all that, and then you go back to your old ways. There has to be an about turn that everybody can see. So that when people meet you a few years later on, they're saying, "Is this the same man we knew back in the day?" Surely he can't be the same man, because you have undergone regeneration. Hallelujah. There has to be regeneration. If you're truly saved, if you're saved, not converted, saved, there has to be regeneration in your life. There has to be growth. There has to be fruit coming out of your life. Hallelujah. Yes. So she had to prove herself. She had to change her ways, stop lying, and all that. 21. "Then she said, 'According to your words, so be it.' And she sent them away. And they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window." Her actions and her faith in them was an act as unto their God, who through them would prove himself faithful to her. Yeah? Her actions and faith towards them, yes, was as unto the Lord they served, who would be faithful to her through them. Hallelujah. Yes? Yes. "They departed and went to the mountain. and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. What does Psalm 6, verse 10 say? Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Let them be tired. Let them be sore. Let them be angry. Let them be embarrassed. Let them return to their wherever they come from ashamed. Verse 23. So the two men returned, the spies returned, descended from the mountain and crossed over. And they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they say to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. For indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. What an amazing report. What a great report these courageous men carried back to their leader. They returned with a testimony of the Lord's goodness, the Lord's faithfulness, the Lord's mercy upon them and upon their mission. Yeah? Why was their mission successful? Why was their mission successful? Nothing special. I believe their mission was successful because they walked in obedience. Hallelujah. They walked in obedience. We have to walk in obedience, brethren. What is the Lord asking us to do? Not what are we telling the Lord to do for us. There are so many Christians who keep saying, "Ha! I told the Lord, I told the Lord, I told the Lord. I told the Lord that for me, God, if you want me to stay here and not take that job in the UN, then you have to do something good for me that will keep me here." No. We submit to Him. We submit to His plans. We walk in obedience to whatever He has decided for us. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 23 says, but this is what I have commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will walk, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Surely, is that too hard to do? And unfortunately, in this story in Jeremiah, they did not heed his words. But it's right there. Obey my voice, and I'll be your God. And you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Such marvelous words. Yes, I believe their mission was successful because they were courageous. Full of courage. How many of these people in this room are courageous? I see more timid hands than... So the rest of you don't know what you are really. Huh? What would you have done if you were in Jericho? What would have happened if the spies had approached you? Imagine if Joshua had sent you to go to Jericho. Would you have gone? Without courage, you wouldn't have gone. You just have to be courageous. We are not courageous because we are so afraid of death. Why are we so afraid of death if we are going to heaven? Death is just a gateway to the eternal. Either hell or heaven. But we have that assurance that we are going to heaven. Death, it can be painful, but only for a few seconds. And then we have crossed over. We have left this body. We have left all the problems of this world. No more falling sick. No more cancer. No more pain. No more hunger. Nothing. Isn't that amazing? We're just afraid to die. And that is where our courage suffers. That's where our courage struggles. Yeah? But they were courageous. That's why they were successful. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Also, many times we are not courageous because we are not sure whether we are going with God or not. Hallelujah. You think, ha, katonda chavi alikubivye. Nange kanji, yeah, then you go there and then it's a whole mess. Yes? There is no courage because the Lord God has not gone before you. Yeah? Courage. They were obedient. They walked in obedience. They were courageous. They also made a vow to show mercy. Mercy to who? To Rahab and her family. As long as she did not betray them, they promised her mercy. What does the Bible say about mercy? Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Yes? Hallelujah. And lastly, I believe they were successful because they faithfully carried out their mission. They had faith in the Lord their God, and also the faith of the harlot, yeah, enabled them to do what they had to do. Faith and faithfulness, faith, belief and faithfulness, you know, the compulsion to do what you have set out to do. Psalm 18, 25 says, with the merciful you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So, brethren, let us do our best to walk in obedience. Let us embrace the courage that the Lord has given us. Yes? Let us remember to always show mercy. And let our faith, however small it is, in the Lord and who He is, let that faith empower us and strengthen us to go wherever He's sending us and to do whatever He's encouraging us to do. Amen? Do not despair. Do not fear. Do not get sidetracked. Do not look at your own strength and wisdom. Do not look at your own might, but look at the God you serve, the God who has called you. Let us stand. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word, oh God, that is straightforward. We thank you so much for the assurances we have received from you, from your word, oh God. We believe, oh God, that even as you promised your children, the Jews, oh God, we believe, oh God, that some of these promises also pertain to us today, oh God. We thank you for being faithful. We thank you for being kind. We thank you for showing us mercy every time. We thank you for your grace that abounds in our lives, Lord. Be with us, O God, as we walk on this road that is full of bumps and thorns, this road that is full of peril and heartache. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to guide us, to show us, O God, where you want us to go. Let us walk with faith. Let us trust that you are leading us, O God, to eternity, to paradise, to just the goodness of your mercy. We thank you. We ask, oh God, for journey mercies as we travel back home. Please keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.